guy.
Actually, Srila Prabhupada didn't like that Jagat. No, Jagat Guru. Every Tom, Dick, and Harry is Jagat Guru these days. Prabhupada is a super title. Jagat Guru, every Mayavadi, two-bit village swami.
Yeah, but Jagat Guru already has arrived in Mayapur.
Yeah, there's so many Jagat Gurus. Where is he? That nonsense yesterday was connected with him? All that domi music?
The discotheque?
Yes.
Anyway, so these all nonsense Jagat Gurus are there. So Prabhupada didn't, it's no honor to be called Jagat Guru these days. Yeah, some people were chanting that maybe or saying that when Prabhupada was there. Prabhupada didn't like it. Okay. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Ki Namini Namaste Sarasvati Deve Gaudavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Vastika Deshapadi. We've been talking about Purusha and Prakriti, about Kshetra and Kshetrajna, about knowledge and the object of knowledge, and we found, we talked about the Paramatmas, the overseer and permitter, and we discussed that one who knows this philosophy, who understands material nature and the soul and the super soul, becomes free from birth and death. He doesn't have to take birth here again. If he's fortunate, there are different ways of perceiving the super soul, and especially by hearing. If one doesn't know anything, but he hears from the right source, he can get good knowledge. Winter is coming in. Now, one practical thing, housekeeping, I forgot. I think it would make sense for us to begin meeting twice a day. If we don't need two meetings a day, we can ease up at the end. But better to start now and not be caught short. So we'll meet again today, 4:30, and 4:30 to 6, up there in Bhakti Charo Swami Land. And everyone knows where that is.
Okay.
Yeah, fourth floor, up by the, all the way in the end, going that direction. Big double doors. Wide double doors, yes. And so we'll do that. And then 6 o'clock, if you'd like, you can go to the RT, and then Pushyabhi Shake is going on tonight. So lots happening.
Yeah.
The Pushyabhi Shake is only today, but the class will be every day until further notice.
Is there any special meeting of today?
Excuse me?
Why there is Pushyabhi Shake?
Krishna likes to have a good time, you know? Huh? I can't. Raganuga Bhakti? No, Pushyabhi Shake is a.
But I think it's in winter season, it's maybe for feeling cold for the disease. I feel cold.
You'll have to speak to their pujaris about it. I don't know how they're feeling. Pujaris know.
Did you say 4:30 to 6?
4:30 to 6. Okay, enough housekeeping. The more we talk about it, the more we get confused. Yavat sanjayate kinchit, this is 27, sattvam sthavara jangamam, kshetra kshetragya samyoga, tadvidhi bharatarshava. Srila Prabhupada sometimes says that at the present moment we're a combination of matter and spirit. And that's explained here. Whatever you see in existence, both the moving and the non-moving, sthavara jangama, is only a combination of the field of activities, kshetra, and the knower of the field, kshetra jya. A combination of matter and spirit means I'm spirit, but at the present moment, I'm in this material body. So you can say I'm a combination of the two. An incompatible combination, unsuitable combination, but nonetheless a combination of matter and spirit. Any questions about that? I think that's pretty clear. Trees?
Okay, but what about stones?
They don't move either.
Yeah.
But especially, it means here living entities. Stones are not generally thought of as living entities.
Yeah, so
but non-moving means like trees, things that are stuck in one place. Yeah, I mean, we keep away from mountains for the moment, but trees, plants, they don't move. And animals, insects, birds, fish, human beings, they're moving.
Non-moving living entities.
Yeah. Yeah, they're stuck in one place. But the trees, same tree is still here from yesterday. Yeah, Lord of the Rings is something else, but this is the tree is still sitting here from yesterday because it's a non-moving living entity. But the insects have all shifted someplace else, or they're on their way, or whatever it is. Yeah. Okay.
So matter, Krishna's energy, is matter. Is not a combination of spirit.
Excuse me.
I mean, a stone or plastic.
Plastic is just matter. Spirit is not in the picture there. Just like this desk. It's not a combination of matter and spirit. It's matter. Or a dead body. It's not a combination of matter and spirit. It's just matter. But a living body is a combination of matter and spirit. Samam sarveshu bhuteshu tishtantam parameshwaram vinashyat svavinashyantam yapashyati sapashyati. Samam sarveshu bhuteshu. In all living entities, equally, tishtantam, residing, parameshwara, the supersoul. Vinashyatsu, in the destructible material body, avinashyantam. He's not destroyed. Yapashyati sapashyati. One who sees that way actually sees. Prabhupada comments here that this parameshwara can be interpreted two ways. Usually it means the Supreme Lord, Supersoul. Sometimes it's interpreted to mean the living entity because he's the supreme controller within his little body. But either way you take it, it's true for both. Neither one of them is destroyed. In the when the body is destroyed, nahangyate hangyamane shudhi, and they're situated in all bodies. That is to say, there's a soul in every body, and there's a super soul who's in all the bodies. Clear?
The super soul is in that as well.
Tree?
No, there.
Super souls everywhere.
Yeah.
That also. Okay. Samam pashyan hi sarvatra samavastitam isharam na hinasyatmanatmanam tato yati param dikin. The person who sees the super soul present everywhere, equally in every living being, Nahinasti Atmanatma. He doesn't do violence to himself. He doesn't degrade himself. Hina. Hinasti. He doesn't degrade himself. And Yati Paramgatin. He reaches the supreme destination.
Why is that?
Hmm?
Because he sees the super soul everywhere?
Yeah.
So he realizes.
Yeah. He realizes the super soul, so he goes back to Godhead.
Yeah.
What was this I was looking at? Drag oneself down by a destructive mentality. Okay. Yes?
Can you give me an example? How can you degrade himself by the mind?
Just think of Susie. You know, have some rather unclean thoughts about Susie and you're degrading yourself by your mind. That's the usual way people do it. But as soon as I identify myself with this body, you know, I'm American, I'm Indian, I'm white, I'm black, I'm proud, you know, I'm this, actually I'm degrading myself. It's not an upgrade to be Indian or American. It's a downgrade. I'm spirit soul, and I think I'm proud to be, you know, Peruvian, or to be, you know, whatever it is.
Colombian.
Not Colombian, yeah. Or, you know, Thai or Indian or Czechoslovakian or any other designation. So I think I'm, you know, coming up. But actually, I'm degrading myself by identifying myself with this body. I'm going to have to work like a dog to, you know, the happiness of this body. Isn't it degrading? This is no place for a gentleman. Here we are. Prakritya vachakarmani kriyamanani sarvashaha. Yapashyati tatatmanam akataram sapashyati. We read another verse similar previously. What is that? Hankara vimudhatma kartaham iti manam. So here practically the same meaning. Prakritya, by material nature. You need a chair? No chairs left? Where'd all the chairs go today? Ah. When they take the classroom, they take the chairs. That's the... Okay. They've got their mat. They're up here. If the ladies have to do that. Ladies, what the other question? Okay. Let him have it. We get off easy. We only have to sacrifice a couple of chairs and we're done with it. Worth it. Don't bring all the chairs. The ladies will follow. Okay. Getting serious here, gentlemen. So prakritya chakarmani, these activities are being performed, kriyamanani, by material nature. And Atmanam akartaram. The soul isn't actually doing anything. I think that I'm doing everything, but actually I'm being forced to act by the, you know, like the lion is roaring. He thinks he's hot stuff. But he's being forced to roar because he's a lion. He has to roar. He's compelled by material nature. You know, if he says, no, I won't roar. I'm going to be an independent bohemian lion. No, he has to roar. Because the modes of material nature dictate, roar. The mosquito, he can't say, well, you know, I'm going to be nonviolent and not... He's forced by his modes of nature to act in a certain way. So the living entities also, the human beings also, they've picked up particular modes of nature, goodness, passion, ignorance, some combination, and under the dictation of those modes, they're acting. And they're thinking, you know, that it's all about their own, they're expressing their individuality, but they're actually acting under the dictation of material nature. Now speak like a scholar. Now speak like a tough guy. Now, you know. But it's all Maya dictating. Now do this, Maya, now do that. And bewildered, he's thinking it's all about his own choices and doing what he wants to do and doing his own thing and being a man, being a this, being a that. But he's actually a doll of the illusory energy. Any questions here? Yada bhuta pratak bhavam ekastam anupashyati tada eva cha vistaram brahma sampadyate tada. So this is Brahman vision. Brahma bhuyaya kopita. This is described also later as being knowledge in the mode of goodness. He doesn't see that there's so many different living entities of different types, different grades of living beings. He sees that they're all one in nature, that they're all Brahma, spirit. Spirit is essentially one, but it's been diffused in many different jivas, living beings, all of the same quality. He doesn't see, here's a here's a man, here's a cow, here's a this, here's a that. He sees they're all living beings. Mm-hmm. What is that? Equal vision. Vidya vinaya sampanne brahmane gavi hastini shuni chai vishapake cha pandita samadarshana. He sees they're all the same. Man or a woman or a boy or an old man or a dog or a cat or a this or a that. They're all the same. But they're appearing in different kinds of bodies. So he has Brahman vision, spiritual vision. He sees these living beings everywhere, all of one nature. Yes?
A verse like this, you could say that it would be very easy for impersonalists to establish their...
Yeah, this is their stomping ground. This is where the Mayavadis focus. This is the kind of verse they pick up. And then, but they don't know what to do with Manmana, Bhagavad Bhakta, you know, the more clear, definite, direct injunctions to engage in devotional service to the Lord, they don't understand. They just pick up, they pick and choose. They pick a verse like this and they say, aha, now it's all, here we are.
My question is, if Krishna kind of allows them?
Yeah, because again, this is the philosophical, jnani stuff. This is the gradual philosophical approach. First of all, just understand that it's spirit. Then we'll start distinguishing between the different, between the small spirit and the great spirit. Just like that Ahangraha Upasana is there. Did we talk about that before? We did. Yes. One meditates upon himself, that I am the Supreme, I am God, I am this. So just to get himself off the bodily platform. I'm not this body, I'm one with the greatest. Da, 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 da. So just in the beginning, that on the philosophical path of discrimination, they have to sort their way through it. First, I'm not this body, I'm spirit. Then spirit is the same everywhere. Then what is the nature of that spirit? Gradually has to come to the point of discriminating. If there's an individual spirit and supreme, subordinate and superior. But this is long and hard.
And they argue that this is a higher level because it's coming after Manmana. And this is more progressive.
No, but then at the end of the 18th chapter again it comes.
And Bhagavad Gita is not like that. It's the middle of this chapter again.
Everywhere devotional service is there, you can't escape from it. But here they're being given, all right, everyone gets a chance. The yogis who you want to do all those mystic yoga exercises and so on, they're given a chance. Those who want to philosophically discriminate, they're given a chance. Those who want to perform pious activities and dedicate them to the Supreme, they're given a chance. Everybody is given a chance in Bhagavad Gita. But finally Krishna says, Sarvadharman pratyajya mam ekam sharanam. The real thing is to surrender to me. Okay? Yes, yes? Okay. Anaditvam nirgunatva paramatmayam avyaya shariras-thopi kaunteya nakaroti nalipyate. What's this twa? The quality of. Ness. Anadi-ness. And nirguna-ness. The quality of. The living entity is eternal and nirguna, he has no material qualities. And the Supreme Lord, similarly, is of the same quality, the Paramatma and the individual Atma are both beyond material nature. Shariras-thopi kaunteya, although situated in the body, nakaroti in the lipyate, they don't do anything and they're not entangled. It's true about both the soul and the super soul. Isn't it? Is the soul anadi? Is the super soul anadi? Is the soul nirguna? Super soul also? Are they situated in the body? Are they? Huh? No, not really?
I mean, only when the soul and body is situated in the body.
Huh?
But he's above the body.
Is he in the body? Is the super soul there or not?
Yes.
He is. Okay. So, therefore, Shriyarastha, he's situated in the body, but not Karoti, he's not doing anything. And similarly, the soul is also not doing anything. So you take either interpretation, soul or super soul, but neither of them is entangled. Neither of them, or rather, neither of them are doing anything. They don't have anything to do with material nature. But the living entity identifies himself with the body. Super soul never does that. The Supreme Personality of Godhead never thinks, I'm this stupid living entity's body. But we think, I am this wonderful body.
But we, the mind thinks, not the soul.
Soul, whose mind is it? I think, I know. This is my false ego. I identify with the body.
She said that the soul never changes.
True. But I identify myself with something that does change.
If I'm identifying myself with the body, and then and before I didn't identify, then I'm changing.
No, I'm the same person. But I'm falsely identifying myself. not a, you can say it's a change of consciousness.
Yeah, what can you define change? What is
his eternal nature doesn't change. Just like I may go crazy and say, you know, I'm not a white man, I'm a black man. But I'm still a white man.
So the mind...
I may say, I'm a king. But that's just my madness, I'm not a king. But I cannot falsely identify myself. I'm a king. I'm king of India.
So the mind is the one that...
No, actually the mind is not, doesn't think anything. It's the living entity who invests, first of all, in material contact. This is called false ego. It's above the mind. Mind just says, I like this, I don't like that. I like this, I don't like that. I'm interested in this, I'm not interested in that. Yes, no, yes, no. That's the mind. And intelligence discriminates. Well, for this reason, for that reason, we should, we shouldn't. Let me look at all the pros and cons. That's intelligence. And above that is the ego. That false ego is more subtle than the mind, more subtle than the intelligence. It's the subtle point at which spirit identifies itself, misidentifies itself with matter.
So when I'm feeling discomfort, right, the soul is feeling discomfort?
Yeah, because mind doesn't feel anything. Any more than the desk feels anything.
So the spiritual path is to work on the false ego?
Finally. I have to use the mind, I have to purify the mind, purify the intelligence, and finally I have to come to this point of false ego and do something about it. The impersonalists just try to attack it, destroy it.
Doesn't exist.
Huh?
They say it doesn't exist.
No, it exists, but it's nonsense. Kill it.
Yeah.
So that we come to become egoless, selfless. But the devotee says, no, I'm not going to become impersonal or egoless, but get rid of the false ego and come to my real ego. False identity, get rid of, come to my real identity. Clear? Yeah?
Okay.
Yes. That will actually be explained in the next verse. Yatha sarvagatam sokshmyat akasham no palipyate sarvatra vastito dehe tatatma no palipyate. The sky doesn't mix with anything, although it's everywhere. You know, sometimes we see that there's water in the sky, or there's clouds, there's dust in the sky. But actually the sky itself, the air itself, is different from the stuff that's floating in it. The air itself never becomes something else. Air is always pure, but something else has been mixed with it. Otherwise, the air itself is pure. So the sky, Akash, is all-pervading. And Akash actually means sky or space. We talked about that before in the 7th chapter.
Yeah.
Space is like where you put things. But it's a very subtle thing. You know, I want, you know, go to the grocery store and buy 6 feet of space. It's not such a tangible thing. But without space, there's no accommodation for anything. My hand needs space in which to exist. So space is a very subtle thing. We think of it in a very, you know, we divide it up and we say, okay, I need 6 feet of space. But actually space itself, you know, when we say 6 feet of land or 6 feet of space, we mean space on something. But there's an element, space, which just consists of space. Not space of something. But space. That space doesn't actually mix with anything that's in it. It's everywhere, but it doesn't mix with anything. Not that because my hand is in space, now somehow there's a mixture of space and hand. The space element remains separate. Clear? Yeah? You've got like 30 jet planes flying across the sky. Sky doesn't change. The sky is not now mixed with airplanes or something. The sky element is the same, even though there may be clouds in it or airplanes in it or whatever's in it. The sky remains subtle. Clear? Okay. So soul also is subtle, even though it's in the body. It's not actually in the body. It's not actually connected with the body. But by imagination, I'm thinking that I'm connected with this body. The third canto, the example is given of a man seeing his head cut off in a dream. And the teacher says, you don't behave, you're going to cut off your head and hang it on the wall for you to see. Kid becomes very frightened. But if you thought about it, if I can see my head on the wall, then I'm okay. So,
But you know, but before you just said that the soul does feel.
Does?
Feel.
By illusion.
Yeah, but that illusion, you can say, like if he's in illusion, it means he's mixed with the body. He's mixed with soul figure.
But not just like a man in a dream. He's dreaming that he's been caught by the army. He's being thrown in jail or whatever it is. He's going to be tried for murder. He's shaken in his boots. It's all very real. But it's all very illusory. It has no real existence. As soon as he wakes up, it disappears. It's real, but it's a real dream. That's all it is. It's not real substance. All our pleasures and pains in the material world are like that. They seem very substantial, but they have no meaning. Because I identify with this body, it seems, you know, more real than anything. But actually it's not.
But again, I'm asking, you know, the point is that the minute he identifies with the body, that means he's influenced by material nature.
Yes. Then he feels it.
Yeah.
Just like you identify with the man in the dream. So you feel all the things that are happening to him. But that dream existence has no real substance.
No, but, you know, if the soul is unchangeable, how can he identify himself?
That's by illusion.
Right, so you're saying that...
Just like the moon is changing, because I'm seeing in the water how it's quivering. That's illusion. That's not actually the moon. That's the reflection of the moon on the water. But I'm seeing it as the moon. I think the moon is trembling.
The problem is the ego. That's the problem.
That is the problem.
Yeah. It's not the nature. It's not the material nature. And it's not the soul.
Well, no, it's not the soul. The soul is fine. Material nature is fine. But it's that contact between the two that's a problem. It's like Prabhupada said, man is good and woman is good, but man and woman together are not good. Soul is good and matter is good. It's the combination of the two that's a problem.
Super soul is not the doer. It's the meeting and
Okay? Father is watching the kid, you know, play with putting his hand in the sand. Says, all right, go ahead. It's not the father who's doing it, it's the kid. Right? He's just watching. All right, do your nonsense. Yatha prakashayat yeka kritsnam lokam imam ravihi kretram kretri tata kritsnam prakashayati bharata. The sun, Ravi, is illuminating the whole universe. Prakashayati, it's illuminating the whole world. Kritsnam lokam imam. In a similar way, tata, chetram chetri, prakashayati. The soul within the body illuminates the entire body by consciousness. And Prabhupada says consciousness is the proof of the presence of the soul, as sunshine or light is the proof of the presence of the sun. When the soul is present in the body, there's consciousness all over the body. And as soon as the soul is passed from the body, there's no more consciousness. Simple, huh? As the sun is lighting up the whole universe, consciousness lights up the whole body. And when consciousness leaves the body, lights out. Clear?
Your feet are asleep. So the blood is not going through. So therefore, the consciousness is not there. You can feel it's like not a part anymore of yourself, of the body. But the consciousness is carried by the blood.
Prabhupada says that someplace, second chapter. But it's subtle.
It's very subtle, no? But it's
a symptom of the soul. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is by the blood or by the air. You can see commentaries that you said that actually the soul is...
Oh, it's situated in the life air. That's not exactly air. That's something a little different.
Mm-hmm.
So when we say we want to do something, I want to do whatever I want to do. So I want to. The soul is saying, "I want to do it."
He's saying it, but why is he saying it? It's like the soul is saying, "I want to eat stool." Why is he saying that?
Because he thinks he's a pig.
Because he thinks he's a pig. Yeah. Exactly. He has the body of the pig, and the pig's body is telling him what to do. Since there's Srila Sridhar Maharaj was telling us that during the war, Second World War, the recruitment poster was there on the wall, just showing a uniform, military uniform. And the caption said, just put on the uniform and the uniform will tell you what to do. So he used it in a different context, but it's like that. You put on the uniform, and the uniform tells you what to do. I'm a pig, so let me grunt and eat stool.
So when we think like that, then we find out that it doesn't work.
We hope we find out. But we pick up these desires because of our contact with material nature. From false ego, all of these things come. Because I'm associated with matter, I pick up a particular kind of body, and practically the body is, you know, just like a boy meets a girl and they fall in love. Why? Because they're a young boy and a young girl. If the girl is 5, she doesn't think about it. or the boy is 7, he doesn't think about it. He doesn't see a young girl and fall in love. But if he's 16, 18, 20, he sees a young girl and starts, you know, hallucinating. Why? Because the body is now such that it dictates, this is what you're looking for. At least, maybe.
When you do devotional service, that means that you're doing your constitutional position, your real nature. And that purifies the ego?
Yeah, because now I've come to my real ego. Ego has to be there, identity, the sense of I am, because I am. So I am is not wrong, but I'm thinking I am something which I am not. And to think that I'm nothing doesn't work very well. So if I think that I am what I really am, I'm fine. It's like that monkey is thinking I'm a monkey. So therefore he's, you know, picking berries or climbing trees and doing all of this. Actually, his spirit soul is the same as you are. But because you don't climb trees and go picking berries. But because he has that particular body, the body is dictating. Now you do this. Okay?
For example, if you think that, okay, I'm serving, in the bigger part of the circumstances, you put yourself in the center instead of Krishna. You don't see so much.
It doesn't sound like thinking you're the servant.
Yeah, it seems like you're being false ego.
Yeah.
Although you can think.
Therefore, this false ego has to be. Therefore, what's the first item in the process of knowledge? Okay, monkey gazers. What's the first item in the process of knowledge? Hello, come back. Deepak. What's the first item in the process of knowledge? Yeah, to be humble. Amanitva. Freedom from pride. So if your pride is growing, your knowledge isn't. Therefore, this is a problem on the spiritual path. Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall.
How do my body deal with that?
Oh, they're clear with that. I agree, false ego is a big problem. We want to get free, that's our whole project, get free from this false ego.
But they identify themselves as a supreme, how do they?
Not false, but hum brahmasmi, I'm spirit. I am that, that's brahmasmi.
Because last time the monkey said that's true.
I see. That's the danger.
It was the same. He's lucky.
We'll find out soon.
Everybody's coming once, the dogs, the monkeys.
Yeah, so the monkeys are afraid of dogs.
Maybe they want to meet tonight.
How
we are going to deal with this?
Oh, come on.
With false ego or the monkeys?
Yeah, we'll come down.
Maharaj, we were about to take prasad about 3 weeks ago, and they came and passed two lungs of soup just before it was served.
Nobody, he did it.
And on purpose, too.
No, these are the good monkeys. You want to see real nasty monkeys come to Vrindavan. These are the gentleman monkeys.
Because a man was
being a gentleman, you know, if they're monkeys, they may pass through anywhere. That's true.
There was a man probing them with a stick, so the monkeys were actually upset because of the man.
Oh, that's the thing.
So as to get back at whoever was down there.
Okay, live and let live. Huh?
Okay. Take a risk.
Calculated risk. I'm in the most dangerous place, I suppose.
Not right now, though. You're okay right now.
Okay.
No, not so.
So?
More like you.
This is how you get free from false pride, have the monkey tap screw in your head.
Take it.
It's not me.
Is it going to help enough? Probably not, you know. But we have to cultivate this consciousness that I'm a tiny servant of Krishna. Therefore, brahmachari guru kule vasan danta guru arhita. One should be trained from the beginning of life as a brahmachari. And... wow, pretty good, huh?
He likes exercise.
Oh, they do. That's one.
Yeah, that's two.
To tell why they do our own.
One leads another.
So, one has to be trained as the menial servant of the spiritual master. The spiritual master is the representative of Krishna. So one is trained to become the menial servant of the bona fide spiritual master. And this way it becomes humble. And that's the thing. He goes begging from house to house. That's also good for humility. And then whatever he gets, he gives to the spiritual master. And if the spiritual master forgets to call him for prasadam, he just says, all right, Guru Maharaj didn't call me. And that way he's trained in humility. This is character. This is training. School is not meant for what we were talking about the other day, you know, getting a whole lot of dates and names and battles. It's for developing these real qualities of knowledge. Freedom from pride, freedom from false ego, cleanliness, austerity, truthfulness. That's actually knowledge, not this other thing. That's ignorance. Again, and let us own your time.
Identifying yourself as a servant is like a gradual process. As the false ego decreases, the identification
is more the other way. The more you identify as servant of Krishna, the more your false ego decreases. Otherwise, the Maya bodies are just trying to get rid of their false ego, but because they don't develop their real ego, they develop another kind of pride. I'm not American, I'm not Indian, I'm not white, I'm black, not black, I'm not the president, I'm not the governor, I'm God. And I get stuck that way.
So one can partially identify himself as a servant.
With?
As a servant.
Yeah, in the probational stage, I sometimes identify myself as servant, sometimes as master, sometimes as the giver of enjoyment to the Lord, sometimes as the taker of enjoyment. Sometimes I think God is my order supplier. This is the probational stage, or the neophyte stage.
So every time we, in a neophyte stage, we identify ourselves as being a servant, doing some
kind of. The more we think of ourselves as servant of the servant of the servant, the more we're making progress. Let's take a break today. Or let's see, what's going on here? Let's finish the chapter, then take a break. We're almost done with the chapter. We actually have one more verse. Kretra chaitagnior evam antaram jnana chakshusha bhuta prakriti moksham cha Yevadur Yanti Te Param. This is the conclusion that Jnana Chakshusha, by eyes of knowledge, not just with the eyeballs, but Jnana Chakshusha, with eyes of knowledge, Kretra Kretragnior Evam Antaram. One should see the difference between the field and the knower of the field, between matter and spirit. Bhuta Prakriti Moksham Cha. And one should understand Bhuta Prakriti Moksham, the liberation of the living being from material nature. Yea, such a person who understands these things, or those who understand these things, Yanti Te Param, they go to the supreme destination. One should recognize the process of liberation as described in verses 8 through 12. Then one can go to the supreme destination. Bonus in the second edition. Any questions? Yes?
We discussed prakriti and purusha very clearly. And this nature means by end consciousness.
No. It doesn't mean it doesn't mean the kind of knowledge you develop. I don't think so, as far as I know. But Purusha Prakriti, nature, the enjoyer, consciousness. I'm not sure where that consciousness is coming from, actually. Viveka means, Purusha Prakriti Viveka. Viveka means discrimination. Is it intended to be consciousness? I don't know. Purusha Prakriti, Kshetra Kshetragya. Not quite sure about that title. Yes.
Is that false Purusha? Is it called Purusha?
Yeah, there's a false Purusha.
Is it?
There's a real Purusha also.
Is it meant the false Purusha?
No, well, there's two.
Both are meant like that.
Yeah, Purusha, there's the false Purusha, there's the real Purusha. You know, I can't comment on the title. Purusha it means Purusha Prakriti. So, actually analyzing the Purusha means understanding that I think I'm the enjoyer, but then understanding also who the real enjoyer is. Purusha Prakriti Vivek.
Vivek.
Yeah, Vivek, discrimination, seeing the difference between Purusha and Prakriti. Antaram Jnana Chakshusha, by eyes of knowledge, seeing the difference between Purusha and Prakriti, Kshetra and Kshetragya.
And what is
seeing the relationship.
Sanskrit word for consciousness here?
I don't know, whether Prabhupada's using it to translate Viveka or whether he's using it to send a different way. I do not know. Any other question?
What is called consciousness? Again, the
I do not know what the consciousness is in the title. Prabhupada hasn't commented on the titles, so I don't know. Titles are funny things. I don't know. I know in Sanskrit it's called Purusha Prakriti Vivek, but what is it? How it's arrived at in the English here, what's intended? Any other questions before we take our much deserved break? Okay, break, 5 minutes. Then we start chapter 14. We'll get into the notes. Okay.
Now, who's in what chapter? Where are the facilities?
Krishna,
Okay, are we ready for a new chapter?
Yeah.
You
may be on
Wednesday.
Oh, next day. Mercy, chapter 14.
Chapter 14. three modes of material nature.
Oh, now we've got all the details.
It's an interesting chapter.
Sri
Bhagavan Vacha, Param Bhuya Pravakshami, Gyananam Gyanamuttamam, Yajgyatva, Muniya Sarve, Param Siddhim Ato Gata. So here Krishna says that now, again, I'll speak to you about transcendental topics. Jnananam jnanamuttama, the best of all knowledge, knowing which the sages have attained perfection. All right? Iram jnanam upashritya mama sadharmyam agataha sargepi no pajayante praliyena yutantita cha. The iram jnanam upashritya, taking shelter of this knowledge, mama sadharmyam agata, these sages attained my sadharmya. They attained the same nature as me. Sargepi na upajayante. They are not born at the time of creation. And palaye na vyatanticha. They're not disturbed at the time of annihilation. They're beyond creation and annihilation. They're beyond birth and death. They're beyond material conditions. They go back home, back to Godhead. What is that? Particular verse I'm thinking of. I don't remember what it is. Param Siddhim Ato Gata. That's the previous verse.
Yeah.
There's a couple verses. There's so many verses like that. It's a different thing I was thinking. Anyway, they're not at the time of creation or the time of dissolution, they're unaffected. Sang Siddhim Paramam Gata. Yeah, here it said Param Siddhim Ito Gata. And what was that I just said?
Sang Siddhim
Paramam Gata.
Yeah.
Same thing.
Yeah.
Those who attain me. Mam upechitukanta tu kaliyam shashvatam napnivanti mahatmanaha sansidhim paramam gata. That's what we're talking about. So by taking shelter of this knowledge of Krishna consciousness, one can go back to Godhead. Okay? Now this is very important, this next section, especially in scientific discourse. Very significant stuff. Mama yonir mahat brahma tasmin garbham tadamyaham sambhava sarvabhutanam tato bhavati bharata. Mahat brahma means, brahma here means something different from what we've seen before. Brahma means the greatest, and we've taken it before in the sense of the Supreme Absolute Truth. But here, Brahma means something different. Here it means the total material nature. It's also great, so it's called Brahma. We discussed that this morning in Bhagavatam class. Those who were here, you take the same English word and it means different things, like field. It can mean a soccer field, it can mean a baseball field, it can mean a football field, it can mean in physics a force field, it can mean in academia, your area of academic interest. All the same word for very different things. the difference between the field of astronomy and the field of hockey. You know, a hockey field and the field of botany. Pretty big difference. So here, the Brahma referred to is not the supreme absolute truth, it's the total material nature. Mahat Brahma, that great Brahma, great material nature, Mahat Tattva. Mama Yoni, Krishna says, it's my womb, or the source of birth. Mama Yoni, Mahat Brahma. Tasmin Garbham, Dadamyaha. I create pregnancy in material nature. And Sambhava Sarvabhutanam. Tato Bhavati Bhat. And that's how the birth of all living beings becomes possible. So this is very important. It was yesterday's class, in the Bengali class. That's why we discussed these things. The modern scientific idea is that material nature itself produces life. That chemicals self-organize. Matter self-organizes. And that's the cause of life. And here Krishna says, no. It's material nature requires the touch of spirit. Otherwise, nothing happens. The prakriti, material nature, requires the touch of Purusha, the Supreme Lord. Otherwise, nothing happens. Just as a woman, women don't get pregnant on their own. It requires the touch of a man. Then there'll be pregnancy. One time, Prabhupada was challenged in Bombay, last Tandal Festival, 1977. He took questions. One man said, Indian gentleman, sir, can you prove by logic that there is God? You do not know what is logic. Again, the man said, sir, by logic, can you prove that there is God? You do not know what is logic. What can you prove by logic? Prabhupada said, you do not know what is logic. Then he said, there's a mother, material nature, there are children, living entities, therefore there must be a father. That's logic, now take it. Oh, everyone, well, I don't know, I don't remember his reaction so much. Everybody else cheered, you know. That his reaction, he sat down. He couldn't say anything. You know, very proud, you know, Western educated guy. He just sank back into his seat. That was it. He couldn't say anything. What can you say? That's logic. There's Mother Nature. Everyone says Mother Nature. The source of birth for the living beings and their children all over the place. So there must be a father. But Krishna says, I'm that father. Aham Bija Pradapita.
All the living beings by the glance of the Krishna.
Excuse me? Yes, by his glance he creates pregnancy. Angani yasyasta kalendriya vrittimant. He doesn't have to do it the mundane way. He just glances. That way he doesn't get entangled. Glances. That's enough. Is that all right? Prabhupada compares the idea, you know, the scientific, so-called scientific idea of the spontaneous self-organization of matter to the logic of the rice and the scorpions. There are big piles of rice on the docks, and you see scorpions crawling out, so then you understand that the scorpions produce the rice. The rice produced the scorpion. That's the logic.
They're supposed to have completely banned the idea of spontaneous generation many years ago.
But really it's there, isn't it? Spontaneous generation is supposedly a discredited idea, but only on the macroscopic level. Down at the tiny level, they still believe in that, in spontaneous generation. That matter spontaneously gives rise to life. It's a very weird idea, actually. But that is their idea, that matter alone can account for the development of life, consciousness, everything. They can't demonstrate it, but this is their passionately adhered to theory. Oh, I have a few, but even Darwin's theory is not exactly what they believe in terms of modern evolution, but they still offer their humble obeisances to Darwin. But their logic is the logic of the rice and the scorpions. We see matter, we see living beings, so the matter has produced the living beings. And they don't recognize that for the birth of these children, the father is required. Kaviraj Goswami calls it the logic of the nipples on the goat's neck. How many of you observed goats up close and you've seen the nipples on their neck? So if someone thinks that they can get milk from those, that's a pretty wrong idea. But someone's thinking they can get life from matter. The logic of the nipples on the goat's neck. Okay? Prabhupada has had a lot to say about this. We could, you know, our Bhaktivedanta Institute has had a lot to say about it. Prabhupada had a lot to say about it. But here, Krishna is only briefly mentioning this point. Sarva yoni shukantaya murtaya sambhavantiya tasam brahma mahadyonir aham bija pradapita. Sarvayonishu, all the different species of life, appear in different forms. Tasam brahma mahadyonir. Their source of birth is material nature, and the seed-giving father, bija pradapita, is Krishna. He's the father of all the living entities, not just the father of mankind, not just the father of some limited group. He's the father of, Krishna says, claims to be the father of all living beings, sarva yonishu, in all species of life. The Prabhupada argued that let's kill our less intelligent brother. Is it very good? Will the father be pleased? And Krishna says, I'm the father of all the species. Any questions here? Okay. Sattvam rajastam iti guna prakriti sambhavaha nibhadnanti mahabaho dehe dehi namavyam. Sattvam rajastam iti. Iti means? In quotes. Sattvam rajastam. These are the names of the gunas, which are produced of material nature. Three gunas. Nibhadnanti mahabaho dehe dehi namabhyam. And by the agency of these three modes, the imperishable living being, the eternal living being, is stuck in a temporary material body. Or rather, when he's stuck in a material body, he's conditioned by the three material modes. He's acting under, because he has become conditioned by the material world, he's acting under the spell of the three modes of nature. We talked about that earlier, that he thinks, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. Really, he's just, you know, blabbing dictation from material nature. Because they have different kinds of bodies, in terms of different aspects of nature, they're induced to act according to that nature. They have to, they're forced. Now, we're going to spend the rest of the chapter pretty much not rest of the chapter, good chunk of the chapter, talking about the characteristics of these three modes of material nature. But we'll begin this evening because we're just about out of time. Any last questions? We have 2 minutes. Yes.
Look at the material world, then we have to be more or less under something else. Or?
Yeah, when you're in the material world, you're going to be conditioned by these three modes. Unless you come to the transcendental platform, which we'll find out about later in the chapter. As long as one is a conditioned soul, he's under the... these are the conditions. These are the conditioning agents. Anything else? Excuse me? Self-realized soul is freed from the constituent food.
Even though he might not act on the mode, but what he does is then controlled by...
He knows that he's not this body. So even if the body is acting in a certain way, he knows, what does it have to do with me?
Yeah.
Yes?
Can the soul leave the body at any time and the body still alive?
Can the soul leave the body what?
At any time.
At any time?
Yeah, and the body remains alive.
How is that possible?
No, I've heard people say, no, the soul, like, sometimes in sleep, so leave the body and then...
Oh, well, you can leave the body, go all over the place, but you're still in the body. The soul leaves the body, splits its connection with the body, body's finished.
So the body remains alive?
No. The soul leaves the body, how will the body be alive?
The soul can return again to the body?
The soul never leaves. When the body dies, the soul leaves.
So what leaves when you're being somewhere else?
Being somewhere else?
Yeah.
What does this mean? I have no idea. It's all astral, it's all... Yeah, I mean, you don't have to go into a dream. Right now, think of China.
Yeah, you're in China now.
You're in China. And, I just said think of China, but, you know, deeply meditate on China. I'd like you to imagine. Just imagine.
The river, the yellow river.
That you're somehow transported to that very strange place called China. All the people around you are Chinese. And so on and so on and so on. And there you are in the middle of China. Now has your soul left the body? No. But there you are in China.
Sometimes when you're somewhere, you can close your body, you can close your body in the sleep and then come back.
It's a subtle button. You can leave. You don't have to go to sleep. You can do it now. The mind is more spooky than most people imagine. You can do all sorts of stuff. You can go to the moon in a second in your subtle body.
Go by down.
And then you kept coming back because the connection is broken with the...
Yeah, you haven't really left. You're still, you know, like prisoners, they go to Paris in their imagination. But they're still in jail.
Or even if I go to Calcutta, I'm still based here. I still live here. Right?
No, that's different. You're in Calcutta, you're not here.
I'm down and write it.
Now, I haven't, you know, if you talk to Madame Blavatsky and all those people, they'll talk about a silver cord and the soul is kind of, what is that thing called? The soul is kind of bungee jumping, you know?
Well.
You know, there's a long cord and he's bungee jumping to all these different places. But then he's, you know, as long as the silver cord is there, he's, you know, the connection is never. I haven't seen any of that stuff in our literature. Now, maybe there is such stuff, but I haven't seen it.
Which is
stuff?
Out of body experiences, there are hundreds of cases.
Yeah, yeah, there's lots of them.
And then many times they've seen as somebody being operated like
yeah, yeah,
being
yeah, operated. Yeah. You want my learned discourse on parapsychology? That's right. People are making progress in this class. They're getting to understand how things work. Tell them.
How much?
Huh? Tell them.
The new course.
I've studied a lot about parapsychology. I could give, you know, professional level lectures on it, but that's not what this course is about. That's when we get into, you know, not out of body experiences, precognition, retrocognition, reincarnation cases, hypnosis, all that kind of stuff. That's the highlight.